You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Narmeen Nasser. She's talking to me from Dubai. Narmeen, thanks so much for being with me today.
Oh, thank you. Hi, how's it going?
Good, good. So, Narmeen, I'd love to know more about everything that's happening in Dubai and around you in terms of the arts. But let's start with Ajala, your project. Could you describe a little bit what Ajala is, how it came to be?
All right. So my partner and I started the Ajala project about 10 months ago, and it's basically a social enterprise that crowdfunds for grassroots initiatives through art. So basically, Ajala was actually, Olobisi Ajala was this Nigerian guy during the 50s who traveled to 87 countries around the world because he experienced a lot of racism and verbal assault while he was studying in the States. He was studying medicine. He decided to go on this journey to 87 countries on his scooter, no money, just to spread positivity and change stereotypes about being from Africa or like the developing world. But when he died, he kind of he wasn't commemorated. If you go and speak to a Nigerian about Ajala, they just think it means traveler. They didn't know it was an actual man who lived and who spent his life promoting good and positivity. So the Ajala project is basically a way to commemorate modern-day heroes, modern-day grassroots initiatives, like individuals who are creating an impact around the world. And the way we commemorate them is by connecting them with artists. The artists create artwork inspired by their stories, and we then sell it on our platform or through like art exhibitions and pop-up events. And by selling the artwork, we're both supporting the artist and the initiative.
So can you walk me through one example of how that happened and how that all works? If you could give one example of an
absolutely.
Artist, one of the, maybe the first that you've worked with or something.
Yeah, sure. So initially we were basically using our own network. Both my partner and I travel a lot, and I'm actually an artist here as well. And we basically came across a few really inspiring individuals, some within our friend circle and some just known by others, known through friends. And for example, there we have a girl in Dubai who basically teaches yoga out of her truck. She takes her huge truck, travels all over the Middle East, teaches yoga from the back of her truck. With the proceeds she gets from her yoga classes, she supports three orphanages across Nepal, India, and Kenya. And then we've got girl in UK who's gone to Greece, set up her own mental, dental, and medical health facility. It's the only health facility for refugees there, and she uses volunteers on a monthly basis to help her run the facility. So these kind of individuals, we've matched them up with 4 to 5 different artists around the world. We've got on our platform. We match them up with 4 to 5 artists. They collaborate with these initiatives and create artwork inspired by that cause. And then so we showcase that artwork on our community, at our exhibitions and on ajalaproject.com. And basically when people go to buy it, they find out about that story. And then by buying that artwork or buying a print or a canvas print or a t-shirt or a tote bag, it goes back to support the initiative and the artist.
So, for example, in the two examples you gave us,
yeah.
as the art sells, that's related to the woman who's teaching yoga, which is such a wonderful
yeah.
project, as well as the other woman, the money goes directly to them to support their ongoing project.
Yeah, so a percentage of all the proceeds, whether it's from our e-commerce website or from our community events or our exhibition, a percentage goes back to support the initiatives that the artwork is inspired by.
So the importance about I mean, Ajala, as well as, you know, what you initially saying in terms of the namesake and combating, I guess, separatism or racism or,
yeah,
or a lot of different kinds of abuses to help make the world a better, more inclusive place, but it's also to create a platform where people can buy art that directly funds social causes that are that artists have created. Is that a correct summary?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what we've seen is, like, you know, most issues, whether it's like lack of education, lack of access to clean water, whether it's you know, nutrition or poverty or climate change, a lot of these issues are mainly addressed by governments who have kind of spending power, but the ones who are really creating the impact for communities are these grassroots initiatives and all these, like, individuals with really unique ways to tackle these situations, but they don't have that access to the resources or the spending that you'd see in the private and public sector. So by using art, we're kind of creating that channel to give them access. So, for example, we will work with companies who buy art, for example, you know, law firms, restaurants, offices, lobbies, they buy art. But now they can actually use their CSR budget to buy artwork, and in return they're actually promoting and supporting all these grassroots initiatives around the world. And we are trying to grassroots initiatives, like their goals, whether it's like sustainability or climate change, or, you know, even if it's like domestic abuse, with the kind of corporates that are committed to developing sustainable goals.
It's wonderful. It seems like a new model. Like, I've never heard of that model before, but it's a wonderful one where corporations and businesses like that can show their support, as even as it's aligned with their social goals by buying art, you know, and supporting those programs directly. It's wonderful. So this is an artist project, as you're saying, right? You're an artist. I don't know what your partner does. But this is obviously an artist-generated project, an artist-created kind of institution, which I kind of really love those types of things, because it ends up with ideas like this that are great, that, like you're saying, you know, a government or usually a bureaucratic entity wouldn't come up with this idea. What does your partner do, and how do you both are involved in this? Because what I'm really asking is, what are all the other things that you do? You're both working on this. This is a big project. There's obviously negotiations and a website and all kinds of things that are happening. What else does your partner do, and what else are you guys doing in Dubai to survive and travel and all of that? what is your partner doing, what are all the things that you're doing? I know that's a lot, but let's just start with a list or something.
So my partner is a IT consultant by profession, and he's an avid traveler, adventurer, writer. He loves writing. The reason initially this kind of started out because he's Nigerian and he travels the world teaching yoga and doing extreme adventure and volunteering, but every time he travels somewhere, they just refuse to believe he's Nigerian or African because it doesn't fit their stereotype of like an African traveling to volunteer and do yoga. So when he came back, when he's based in Dubai, whenever he comes back, he wanted to start this diary or this blog called Ajala, and to talk about his the stereotypes he faces because of his passions. People he meets during his travels, it doesn't fit with their stereotype or what it means to be African. So when he was going to start his blog, he decided to do a bit of research on this term, Ajala, and then he found out it was this, like, his situation has been going on from ages, and it was Olabisi Ajala who, like, first really tried to basically do what he wanted to do, like, change the notion of an African and not stereotype it to mean, like, a war criminal or, like, a slave. That you could be a traveler, you could be an adventurer, you could be a doctor, you could be a lawyer. So that's kind of where it started from myself. I am a global health graduate, and I've worked for like various humanitarian organizations, grassroots initiatives. I've worked in the private sector, but I've also been an artist here in Dubai for the last 5 or 6 years. So I think combining both of our passions for like art and travel and social impact and grassroots initiative, that's kind of how this Ajala project was conceptualized last year. But for 10 months, we've been doing this full time. And yeah, we're kind of, it's become such a big project now. We've got 200 artists. We've featured 80 initiatives. We've held countless community events, really successful ones. And now with just the two of us, we do have an amazing community manager as well. But yeah, we're kind of stretched. So we're looking for funding. We're looking for partners. We're looking for ways to grow our team. Our website definitely is taking up a lot of our time. It's still, I mean, the store is up, so people can actually go and view some of the artwork, but the main integrations and the causes and the stories, they're still being updated.
Right. Well, I imagine that just the work just keeps growing because, of course, it the site keeps growing and the ambition of what you're doing keeps growing. In terms of you as an artist, where did you grow up and how did you get to? I know where you graduated, but how did you end up in Dubai?
I was born here. I was born and raised here in Dubai. I did my undergrad in Canada. I went to Australia for my master's degree. And then Dubai is home, so I came back here. But I've, along with all the work that I was doing and working in the private sector, working for social enterprises, I was also trying to develop myself as an artist as well. So I've painted, I've sold, I've taken part in a number of exhibitions. So that's basically how I developed here.
And how is it as a place to develop for an artist? I mean, I imagine you're also, were you able to survive off your art, or do you also teach or do other work in Dubai?
Yeah, so I was, while I was, before the Ajala project started, I was working. Like, I worked in publishing, I've worked in training, I've worked in events as well as various humanitarian organizations. I've written for a lot of larger international development organizations as well. I've always painted on the side and sold through, like, just whether it was Instagram or Facebook, but I did, there's like pros and cons to being here as an artist. Pros would be that it is such a young country that the local art scene isn't saturated like you would see in a lot of major cities around the world, and the government is doing a lot to really provide exposure for like local artists. So from that aspect, there's a lot of free or really cheap subsidized ways for us to expose ourselves, get exposure as artists, like at events, at exhibitions. The government has a portal called Creatopia where any artist can go and just upload their artwork, and then various government entities, if they need artwork, they will contact artists from there. So in that way, it's because it's so young and they're trying to really nurture the local art scene, there are advantages to being here. Other than that, there aren't, like, online platforms haven't really penetrated, online art platforms haven't really penetrated here. So the Ajala project is actually at an advantage in UAE to be, like, the leading kind of online art platform as well as a social impact platform. We'd probably be, we're kind of like an art crowdfunding platform. So with art, we're crowdfunding for these social causes. So it's a good place to be, actually. And because Dubai is made up of 95% of Dubai or 93% of Dubai are expats from all over the world, So, for example, I could walk into
I had no idea. 93% of the population of Dubai is expats from everywhere, Europe.
Everywhere. Like, any restaurant you walk into, you'll be sitting alongside at least 50 to 60 different nationalities. Like, that's Dubai, and that's the culture I grew up in.
And why is that? Why is that? Because I really don't know anything about Dubai. I actually was in there once for about, like, a week on the way to India, but I don't know anything about the culture there. I hear more and more things happening with the arts, and it sounds like, you know, a lot of wonderful things are happening there for the arts, but you're saying it's also an international scene, or largely international.
Absolutely. Like, the school I grew up in was, we had 96 nationalities in our school. Like, it's very, it's extremely, extremely international, and there's a very, because it's such a small country, the percentage of locals or, like, Emiratis who are from here, it's a very, 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 it's, like, less than 8%. So, I mean, yeah, most of the community is made up from people from all over the world.
And why do people love Dubai? What is exciting about it as a, well, why does it have such an expat international draw, do you think?
For me, it's home, so I'm biased towards Dubai for different reasons. But it's a fast-growing city, right? So, for example, you will have, for such a tiny little city with just a little over a million people, you have restaurants from every single country in the world. You have beaches, you have ski slopes, you have... it offers a lot for the tiny city that it is.
And you were saying that so it's a great place to be as an artist, it sounds like. There's a supportive artist community there, do you feel? I mean, in terms of, it sounds like you're able to sell paintings through social media, but also as an emerging artist, as an established artist, it's a supportive place for an artist, do you believe?
Yes, that's definitely growing now. Like, as... having been an artist with no training, I've had a lot of, been able to take a lot of free workshops and free classes, and then been able to get exposure for free, get stalls at like street night events and street art events for free. There's a lot of opportunities like that for artists.
That's exciting.
Since we started, like in 10 months, we've already, out of the 200 artists that who want to collaborate with us, about 60 of them are from UAE alone. So it's been really easy to kind of gather the local artist community.
That's wonderful. So before I ask you the last question, let me ask you this. You know, there are different people listening to this. A lot of artists are listening to this. There's also curators and different people in different parts of the world that are listening to this. Is there anything you want to say specifically for artists getting involved as well as collectors getting involved? There'll be a link on the interview here to your website so they go there and find it. But is there anything you want to say to how artists and collectors can get involved with what you're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. So for artists, there's quite a few. I mean, artists can use our platform as a way to even sell the previous work that they've done that isn't commissioned by us for a specific initiative. But we still require any painting that's sold through our website. We still require the artist to choose an initiative, whether it's a larger charity or like one of the grassroots initiatives that we feature, to give a percentage of the proceeds to. So artists from all over the world, even if, for example, not every artist can be inspired by a specific cause, and we've seen that some artists find it really hard. They may love the cause, but they would rather write about it or blog about it rather than create art based on it. They can still submit artwork and donate a percentage to a specific cause. And we have, what we've seen so far is that artists have become the ambassadors for all the initiatives. You know, they do spend like 4 or 5 weeks learning about the initiatives and speaking to the change makers and learning about the communities involved. So then even after they've created the artwork, they're then ambassadors. And, you know, when we, for the first 9 months, even till now, we manually assign every single artist to the initiative. So, and we try and make sure they're not from the same region or they're not even remotely close to each other culturally. So we've seen a lot of cross collaboration between throughout different countries. A few of our artists have become change makers themselves, which is really has been really rewarding for us, like to see artists who've like worked for a while with these amazing initiatives and then they've gone and quit their jobs and started their own initiative as well. So that's definitely a drive that's kept us going. In terms of collectors and art buyers, we've seen that even with like the young millennial population, they really want to be able to contribute, but they don't know how, they don't know where to go to. So this is kind of a good way for them to buy art, and it fits every budget because we also print digital reproductions like posters and canvas prints and t-shirts and tote bags. And so it's a good way for young millennials to start buying art. And basically by buying art, you're contributing to a cause. And for, I guess, more serious, this is a great way to find emerging artists from all over the world, because from the 200 artists that we have, we've got like hobbyist artists, high profile artists, pretty prominent artists from different regions around the world. So it's kind of a nice match.
And just to be clear, that's said very well. What when artists submit work and you sell the work, you are selling. They're giving you a digital image, and you're making prints and other things from that digital image. Is that correct?
Yes. So that's something, because my partner and I are based in Dubai, all our community events and exhibitions have taken place in Dubai so far. So all the original paintings we've sold have only been by local artists. For international artists that have gotten involved, we've been able to sell prints of their work. But we're setting up a process where it'll be like a marketplace where the artists will upload their work, and if somebody requires the original, then the artist should be able to sell it to the customer themselves, like ship it to them, and we will take care of all the proceeds.
That's exciting. I love what you're doing. I love what you and your partner are doing, and hope more people will look into what you're doing. Before we go, I want to ask you the last question, which is a little off topic, but what are you reading now? Could be anything at all, or what you're currently looking at.
Okay. So I'm currently reading a book by Carrie Fisher called Shockaholic. And I wasn't actually familiar with Carrie Fisher before I picked up this book. I know she's in, I think it's Star Wars, but I've never watched any of those movies. But I'm really, really intrigued by who she was, and I might even go back and watch all her movies now because she's a really intriguing character. So that's the book I'm reading.
That's exciting. I want to thank you so much for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure talking about all the work that you're doing, Narmeen. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.